And we'll go right in to the word of the Lord. It's going to come out of the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20, verse 11. Father God, we come to you this morning, this day, excited and grateful for everything that you've done for us. I thank you that you're a good Father that shows us kindness and grace and mercy and long-suffering. Lord, I thank you that you have the best plans for us. I thank you that you deal with each one of us individually. I thank you that you don't condemn us. You just love us until we receive. You love us until we believe. You love us until we can see the promises that you've laid before us. So today, Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts and our minds, open our hearts to revelation like we've never seen it before. And God, will be so careful to give you the glory, you the praise, and you the honor. We pray these things and believe them in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 20, verse 11. I'll probably read just a couple of verses, and then I want to skip down. The title today, or I guess the subject that I want to talk about, is it's okay to be different. It's okay to be different. Last week, me and Alex and Joshua and Isabel were on vacation. And typically, you know, when it gets to the last 2 days, 3 days of vacation, I'll start planning, like, you know, in 72 hours, we need to get this packed and do this. And if I'm not careful, I'll overthink everything and waste a couple days of vacation because I'm like, man, this trip went so fast. God, how time flies. And I'll begin to do these things. But on the flip side of that, when it's getting, you know, the last day or two of vacation, Joshua and Isabel and Alex look at it from a completely different viewpoint. They'll begin to get excited. Oh, I can't wait to sleep in my bed. Oh, I can't wait to be able to do this at home. Joshua, I can't wait to be able to play this game or do this outside or be back on my trampoline or whatever it may be. But they look at it completely different. And because they do that, they enjoy their last couple days on vacation a lot of times more than me. Definitely in the past they have. But now what I've learned to do is I've learned to look at it kind of from that perspective too. Am I happy to leave vacation? Absolutely not. But am I sad? Absolutely not. I'll look at it like I appreciate the Lord allowing us to go and you know, doing all the fun events and the fun things. And when it's time to come home, it's simply time to come home. And that may sound silly to some people and it may sound absolutely ridiculous, but I'm telling you, I can ruin the last 2 days of vacation for myself because I'll be so focused on what I need to do to pack or what I need to do to make sure things are taken care of. So in John chapter 20, verse 11, we have Mary, and just for the sake of time, I'll probably skip this 11 and 12 verse, but you have Mary. Jesus has died. He's been put in the tomb. She goes up to the tomb. She's obviously upset. She's crying. She's weeping. And the Bible declares that she looks down and she sees angels. And she begins to talk to a man, and pretty much just to once again, I guess, give a summary of it. She talks to a man and she says, "Sir, if you'll tell me where you put him, tell me where you put him so I can do certain things for his burial, so I can make sure that he's taken care of." And Mary thought that it was the gardener. And then the Bible says in verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." What I want you to notice here is that Jesus did not condemn Mary for not recognizing him. He didn't say to her, "Mary, where's your faith?" He didn't say to her, "Mary, you should have seen me for the first 30 seconds and realized it was me." He never, not one time, condemned her for it taking her a little time to recognize who he was. You see, today I want you to know that it's okay that you do things different. I want you to know that it's okay you may not get things as fast as other people. Or it's okay you understand things maybe faster than other people. You see, with Joshua, when we teach him things and he has a I don't want to say a problem, but he when he understands things. Sometimes he'll try to understand them or catch on too fast, and he misses some of the benefits of taking his time understanding things. And we want him to know that, Joshua, it's okay that you do it different than everybody else. Isabel, it's okay that you do this different than everybody else, because you do it differently doesn't mean you're not as smart. It doesn't mean you're not as important. It doesn't mean absolutely that you're not as loved as the next person. And brothers and sisters, today I want you to know it's okay that you're not where you think that you should be at yet. It's okay that you might not have as much as your neighbor or not be able to do the things that you want to do yet. That's absolutely okay. You see, you and I serve a God that wants us to understand it's okay to be exactly where we're at. You see, until we understand that it's okay to not be there yet or not have yet, then we can't make any progress. You see, a lot of people say fake it till you make it, and I understand what they're saying, but I'm more of a realist. I'm more of a person that says, listen, understand where you're at and let God take you to where you need to be. You see, if I'm so focused on trying to get somewhere, then I'll never appreciate where I'm at. And on vacation, I'm so busy trying to plan when we get home that I'll ruin where I'm at. I won't take the time to appreciate it. And I believe these scriptures right here, it's God showing us that it's okay to not understand yet. It's okay to not seem as fast as others. It's okay to not be able to do some of the things that other people around us are doing. So he tells Mary, listen, go tell my brethren what's going on. And the Bible says a few verses down that Jesus appears to the disciples. But there's one disciple that's not there. Thomas is not there when he appears to him the first time. So they go back to Thomas, and I'm paraphrasing here, and they say, listen, Thomas, we saw the Lord. And many of us, no doubt, have called Thomas doubting Thomas. We've said Thomas doubted because he didn't believe. But what I want to show you today is it's okay that Thomas didn't believe at first. It's okay that Thomas said, listen, unless I put my fingers in his wounds, unless I put my fingers in his scars, then I won't believe. It's okay that Thomas was a realist. It's okay that Thomas didn't believe yet, because Thomas left open the possibility to believe. Thomas left open the possibility that he said, listen, if this don't happen, then I won't believe. He still left open the opportunity to believe. And brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that as long as you leave an opportunity, a slot for God, then God will perform miracles. God will continue to love you until you receive. God will continue to forgive you until you understand that you're forgiven. You see, sometimes if Joshua or Isabel get in trouble, especially Joshua, he may not, show his face for 5 or 10 minutes. Or he may not ask for something or want to go play ball or whatever it may be. And if I go in there and I say, Joshua, why are you in this room? Or why are you, sitting here still? The answer is the same every time. I thought you were mad at me. I thought you were upset with me. I thought you were disappointed in me. And it's on the contrary. It's a lot of times when we try to teach our kids something as parents, we're trying to teach them so they don't have to go through some of the adversity that you and I had to go through. We're trying to teach them there's an easier way or there's a better way. Or the only way a lot of times is to work hard to become what you're wanting. You see, with the society that we live in today, there's the newest, greatest weight loss thing. There's the newest, greatest thing to get in shape, whatever it may be. And these people make billions and billions of dollars because it's the latest, greatest. Where, truth be told, the time I lost 50 pounds, it was eat better and work out hard. It's a math game. So today, if you have goals that you set for yourself, it's okay to approach them differently than other people. It's okay to look at things from a different vantage point. And here in John chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Because of this scripture, most of us call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Most of us say, okay, Thomas, faith, you should have had faith to believe what those around you were saying. But I promise you, God did not condemn Thomas for wanting to touch and to see him himself. It's on the contrary that. The Bible says in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas were with them. Jesus came and the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas said, listen, I know you guys probably aren't lying to me, but I want to touch him. I want to have that experience with my Savior. I want to have that experience to see the risen Savior. And no doubt there were some in the crowd, some among the brethren that said, Thomas, you got to believe. Didn't the teacher tell us the whole time that we should believe and we should have faith? And no doubt for 8 days, Thomas stood firm on what he said. Thomas didn't waver. Thomas didn't say at day six, okay, it's day six, so I choose to believe now without standing or without seeing and putting my hands in his wounds. On day seven, Thomas still chose to be different. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that it's okay that you handle things differently than others. It's okay that you stand firm on the promises of God. It's okay that people around you don't understand, maybe even people in the same household as you. It's okay they don't understand that you act differently and handle things differently because you're standing on a promise. You're standing on faith. You're standing on what God told you that God was going to do for you. You see, it's okay that I don't understand your kind of faith. It's okay that maybe I look and handle and walk a little different than you. It doesn't mean it's better than you. We have to stop thinking because we don't act like the mainstream or we don't act like our other Christian brothers and sisters or our other family members that we're not enough or that we don't have as much Jesus as they do or we're not this or that. You see, Thomas for 8 days said, listen, I know y'all saw him and that's good for you, but for me in my house, I want to touch him. For me in my house, I want to touch him. I want to put my hand on his wounds. I want to put my finger in his side. I want to have an experience myself. And what was the Savior of the world's response to what Thomas was requesting? What was the Savior of the world's request to what Thomas was saying? This is what it's going to take for me to believe. The Bible says after 8 days, he comes into the room. He doesn't choose to unlock the door. He doesn't choose to even open the door. The Bible says that I believe that he wasn't there and all of a sudden he was. You see, you and I serve a God that is not bound by time. He's not bound by physical objects. He can do the impossible. So they're sitting there talking, I believe, and all of a sudden in the midst of them stood the Savior of the world. And the Bible says that he looks at Thomas and he says, Thomas, put your hand here. In other words, I believe he was saying, Thomas, it's okay for these 8 days that you've struggled. Thomas, it's okay that you wanted to have this experience with me because I'm a personal Savior. Brothers and sisters, today, it's okay that you want to have a personal experience with him. I challenge you to desire that. I challenge you to want that. I challenge you to do it differently than everybody because I don't believe we should call Thomas Doubting Thomas. Because later on in his days, Thomas no doubt was decapitated. He died for the gospel. He died for his faith. I would call him Thomas that chose to believe differently. I would call Thomas not Doubting Thomas, but Thomas that chose to be different. Thomas that was okay with being different. Thomas that gave his life for his faith. And today in closing, brothers and sisters, I want you to focus on the response of Jesus when Thomas was requesting to touch him. You see, Jesus would have been righteous and holy and perfect without coming back to them and letting Thomas lay hands on him. But I want you to know that the Savior that you and I serve, the God that you and I serve, cares about you and me individually. He cares about your request and your desires and your fears and your wants and your anxieties. He cares about those things. Why else would the Savior of the world came back into the midst of these disciples after he had already appeared? He had already done what he promised them he was going to do, but he chose to take one more detour. He chose to take one more stop before he went back to the throne room, just so one man could have an experience, just so one man could do what it took for him to believe, just so one man's life would forever be changed. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know today that that God that came and showed Thomas himself, that revealed himself to Thomas, is absolutely the same God that will reveal himself to you. It's the same God that reveals himself to me every single day. It's the same God that shows me when he heals cancer, but it's also the same God that's allowing my attitude to change when it's time to come back from vacation. I'm telling you, it's a simple thought. It's a simple thing. And you may say, Brother Allen, that's kind of silly that you get upset about coming back from vacation. But I'm telling you, the God I serve cares about that. The God I serve that I've watched heal people from cancer to heal people from migraines and many other things is the same God that cares about my attitude coming back from vacation. It's the same God that on vacation we had absolutely no flat tire, no wreck, no problem at all. He saw fit to see us down there and come back. He is that good. But today I want you to know permission granted to be different, to look at it different, to experience him differently. If I have one desire for our kids, one desire, is I want them to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it's okay to be different. They don't have to date by the time they're 15 or 16, whatever it is most people think. They don't have to approach things the way that I approach things. It's okay that they would rather praise the Lord than watch a movie. It's okay that they'll raise their hands in a ceremony or in a service faster than everybody else. It's okay that they cry when they worship. It's okay that they believe God in spite of everything they see going on around them. I want them to know to be different. I want them to know to be like Thomas and tell God the truth. Brothers and sisters, you can tell God you want to see him. You can tell God that you want to touch him. You want to feel him. Whatever your desire is, you can explain it to God because he already knows. He's that good. A couple days ago, Alex and me celebrated 15 years of being married. And I know to most people, y'all wonder how in the world I put up with her for 15 years. By the grace of the Lord. But as I began to think about 15 years, it blew me away that much time has went by. It blew me away how far God had brought us from talking about how are we going to be able to pay the bills to the blessings that the Lord pours upon us now. And I ponder the last 15 years and I think about them. And one thing I can say, and I can say it by the grace of God, is that we did things differently. We did things differently. We believed sometimes, most of the time, her a whole lot more than me, that God would do exactly what he said that he would do. We believed that God would perform miracles and allow her to have children. We believed twice God allowed her to have kids. You see, Alex wasn't supposed to have children, but she chose to do it different. She chose to believe when the woman of God prophesied that she held on to the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord will never return void. And we have two beautiful children. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you to be different. And if that difference is you being like Thomas, that I need to touch you, or if that difference is saying, Lord, I don't have to see your wounds. I believe your word just because of who you are. Both ways are okay with the Lord. He didn't condemn Mary for not knowing who he was. He didn't condemn Mary for thinking he was the gardener. On the contrary, he looked at her and said, Mary. You know, the same thing happened in both stories, and I'm done. When Mary didn't realize who he was, he said to her, Mary. I believe he looked at her and he called her by name, because he calls each one of us by name. And when Thomas was in that room and he appeared, I wonder if Thomas was nervous. I believe Thomas was maybe a little nervous. This the Lord has appeared, and I said, because I believe Thomas knew that God could hear everything. But no doubt Thomas stood firm on what he believed, and he said, listen, if I don't touch him, if I don't put my hands in his wounds, there's no way that I'll believe. And because Thomas had said this, Jesus says to him, Thomas. He says Mary, and he says Thomas, and the reason he called them by name is he wanted their attention, and he wanted them to know it's okay to be different. It's okay to be on your level. It's okay to be you, because I love you, because I've called you to greatness. So today, brothers and sisters, it is okay to be you exactly where you're at. He is calling you to his love and to his grace and to his mercy. He's calling you into relationship with him. And if you already have a relationship with him, he's calling it deeper and deeper. He's wanting you to know that it's okay to mess up sometimes. It's okay to not be there yet, because I'll walk with you, saith the Lord our God. He called Thomas by name. He called Mary by name. And praise the Lord, he calls us by name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that it's okay if we're like Thomas. It's okay if we're like Mary. Or it's okay if we're like Kevin or Angela or Josh or whomever it may be. It's okay to be us. And Lord, I pray that we are a peculiar people. I pray, God, that we look at things from a different vantage point. I pray that our perspectives are different than that of the world. Lord, today, I pray that you will show us that it's okay, God, that you give us permission to be different, permission to approach things from a different way, permission to approach things from a different level of faith. Today, Lord, we thank you that you call us by name. Oh God, I thank you that you're exactly who you say that you are. I thank you that you're full of grace and truth and love. I thank you today that just like you called Mary, you called Alan. Oh God, I thank you today, just like you called Thomas, you called Kevin. I thank you that you call us by name. And Lord, by faith, we believe these things to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.